This is a picture of my family. I am a mother of five. I birthed five. I have one stepson. So this is my stepson and the five that I birthed. So I have three boys and three girls. That's the only picture I had. I have it upstairs in my office. So I just wanted to share with you where they are at now. I had five children under the age of eight when I did have little ones. So I see with all of you here, we have lots of, I counted about 20 moms. So let's see if you only have two each. I don't know who has one, who has two. We've got about, 40 children? We're talking about, and children are a delight. I must tell you, I came from a big family. I came from a family of 10, and I so enjoyed it and enjoyed my brothers and sisters. And so as I grew up, my mom always said, oh, I wanted to have double what my mother had, because her mother had five. And so she had 10, and I thought, no, I don't want to double my mother. I'll half her. Yeah. So the enjoyment of a family, whether large or small, is really so much fun. And God does ordain the family and the children that he gives you. Motherhood is a high calling, and it's a high privilege, and it's hard, hard work. You didn't sign up for the easy job on that one, but the delights will come, and you guys may not see them. I'm going to share with you, three of my girls wrote me something to read to you today. You might not see these delights for 20 years. I'm sorry, you have to wait that long for the reward, but it does come, and it does come, and your faithfulness in God and your walk with him will determine that outcome, because they're watching you. The saying that it's caught rather than taught is so true in our lives. No one else can take your place, and no one can go the places that you're free to go. Those children are just like sponges. From the moment they're born till even now, there's some of mine are still, never mind. After 15, they don't want to listen anymore. But they do absorb what you live and how you live. It's so important to teach your children from the Word of God, and I'll share some of that maybe in our question and answer time and things that I did and ways that we can encourage our kids. And an opportunity for us to study the Bible ourselves. I found that I didn't know it at the time, but I didn't give you my whole story. Should I stop and put the story in? Okay, let me get back to that. But I was married around the age of 22 and had the five children within 8 years. Mark and I were married for about, we were married 23 years when he left in an affair with a woman who's young, 30 years younger than he is. Younger than three of our six children. So it was a devastating moment. So hard to explain, but I was working here at the church. I was director of children's ministry. I had been for 6 years that year he left. And at that moment, the church and the people here just surrounded me. They held, when Moses said they held his arms up, I understand that story now, because the people at church literally held me up as the workers and volunteers came out of the woodwork to help in children's ministry and to jump in and dive. And some of you were those people that took places that needed to be helped. And people surrounded me with love and with God's grace for that whole year as I was trying to restore the marriage. And I know some of you would say, if my husband did that, he's out the door. And I believed that myself. And I always thought that until he left. And I thought, no. I said, Lord, if you forgive him, I'll forgive him. And that was my, I knew he had forgiven me for so much and the things I had done wrong in my life. And I thought, if he's willing to come back, if he's willing to repent or be sorry, I'll take him back. Lord, if you forgive him, I'll forgive him. So we had a year of struggle of trying to restore it, trying to make it work. And long story short, it didn't. And so I resigned. That was 1 year later. So my seventh year here, I resigned and knew that I'd be going forward with the divorce, and I couldn't take ministry forward at that time. I needed at that time to raise my children, because he left while I had three in high school in sports. birthdays, activities, all those kinds of things. So I had three that I had to focus on and get through this difficult time and finalize the divorce and all those things. So I resigned, and someone from the church hired me about 4 months later. I had 4 months, I called it my wilderness time, where I spent like 3 and 4 hours with God. I can't even explain it. I have many journals of that time, but it was just a wilderness where sometimes I didn't hear from him. I didn't know what was going on, but I trusted him and I walked with him. And little did I know, my children were watching. They were watching every move. You'll hear some of it in their stories today. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I would have done a better job if I'd known that. Because I was in my own sorrow, and then also picking up each one of their hearts, trying to help them through the difficulty as well. And again, God had given me a base through all of the teachings he taught me in the years I was teaching them when they were little. I didn't know. I didn't see it. And like, you guys don't see the future. You can't see 15 years. Some of you can't see kindergarten for your little one, can you? No, but God gives us that thing. So where was I going with that? I just drew a blank. Sorry, that happens at 50. I'm 51 now. I just had a birthday, so it's like, oh. I lost a lot of stuffing in that disaster. And like a bear that loses his stuffing, I got some of it put back and I got sewed up, but I thought, dang, there's some stuffing still missing. I can't catch it all. So the kids, where am I going? Come on, Mary. The what?
How you gave them their faith to get through.
Oh, okay. And the faith that I had given them when they were young, I was hoping would hold. Because at the moment he left, there was not one more Bible verse they would learn. There was not one more Sunday school class they wanted to go to. And that Pastor Steve had announced it to the whole church, because I was on staff at the time. They thought, there's no way I'm going to go to church, because people are going to come up to me and say, how are you doing? And they go, we don't want to tell him. So whatever was laid in the foundation that God had given them at a young age was all I had to hold on to. At that time also, I invited the three that were home. I said, I'll give you $100 to read the Proverbs. I was desperate. Come on. If there's something, God will help you with it through this time. And they didn't read it. And a year later, now some healing take place, not much. A year later, they came back and they said, Mom, is that offer still good? Can I read them, get the $100 for Proverbs? I said, yes, and would you write some things about it that will help you as you read it? Or I somehow wanted to know they had done it. I don't think they were pretty honest enough not to just say, I did it, I'm done, give me the $100. Sarah at times would call me into a room and say, Mom, you want to hear what I wrote after this proverb? You want to hear what I did after this one? And I'll not forget, my son Ian came down the stairs after he was probably into the second or third proverb. He goes, what am I supposed to do with the proverbs that say, honor your father? And those that it taught you. And I said, now you're a heavenly father. Your earthly father has I never did slam him. If it ever happens to you, don't slam the spouse. I never did. I said, what your father has done, he's turned away from God, and he did the best he could while he was raising you, but he had sinned and turned away and couldn't come back. He didn't. God always wants us back. I don't care whatever you've done. He always wants us back. And I said, Ian, just count on your heavenly father to be the one who's going to guide you now, and trust him every time you read the word father in any of those verses. So it was, I don't know how long it took them. It might have been about a month, and they came for their cash. And I gave it to them, because that was the only way I could maybe give a little something that would help them along. I constantly reminded them to rise above their circumstances, to be strong in the Lord. And I said at one point, I see God in all of this, as we were sitting down together in the living room. And Ian goes, Mom, I can't even see God. How can you see God in all of this? And I said that the things that he does in our lives, we have pain and we have sorrow, but we do not have guilt and we do not have shame. Two different, very different things. God forgives us for guilt and shame, but if we might have sorrow, and sometimes in life some things might happen, I didn't see this coming, I wouldn't have bought a ticket. Not for that train, but as the years went on, they did overcome. Angie, I'll talk about my stepson. He's awesome too. He's one I said, Conan, I'm so sorry that divorce has happened to you twice. And he goes, Mom, it should have never happened to you once. Angie and Jesse have gone off. Jesse's married now. Angie's engaged. And the three youngest that were home in high school, the youngest was 14 when she left. She's at U of O right now. I've got her story. That's kind of funny. And then I've got Elena graduated as a nurse just last May. And Ian, my son, made it into the Naval Academy even after the disaster and now is a senior at the Naval Academy and will be graduating this year. Did I see any of that? Do you see any of that in your little people? We don't. We don't. Ian being 15, turning 16 at the time his father left, I remember coming here to church because I had to tell Pastor Steve and John, and I fell on the floor weeping at the back of that toddler room because I go, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my children. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my car. I knew I was going to lose everything. And I prayed fervently to God. I said, Lord, I was faithful. I taught them about you. I taught them about this wonderful God who redeems his people. And I didn't care about the house. Yes, lost the house, lost the car. Friends gave me an 82 Toyota. The thing's shaking and I'm shaking and I laughed. I said, God, you're just showing off. You know, because I had a car that got me from A to B. There's so many more stories I can detail with you, but what God does in the midst of difficult circumstances, and we hold on to him as tightly as we can. He is all we have, and he is the one we can trust. I might have missed a few things, did I? it's funny, to come today, I thought, there was a lady on the airplane I was on just a few weeks ago on my way to Jesse's wedding, and they announced on the loudspeaker that she was going to have her birthday the next day, and she would be 92 years old, and everybody on the plane clapped. They thought it was just wonderful, and the steward had asked, what's your secret? And she said, hard work. Mm-hmm. Hard work. When you signed up for those babies, it was hard work. And the best two legacies a parent can give their children are roots and wings. I think I shared with you guys maybe last time, there's a whole group of new moms. I might have shared it when you were there. You're raising them up to let them go. And when someone told me that when mine were just little, I thought, oh my word, my whole mindset changed. I thought, I'm not going to mollycoddle you forever. But that's an old word, by the way. What do you use now for baby them to death? To raise them up, to let them go. And as I thought about today, and I read in Titus where the older women are supposed to teach the younger women, I thought, oh, did I already get in that category? Dang! I would rather be in your seats absorbing and taking and saying, what can I do? How do I raise these children? That I'm not supposed to be slanderer, and I'm not supposed to be addicted to wine. I better put the bottle away last night. But you know what? To come and to teach what is good, and to train younger women to teach their children, and to love their husbands, and to train up your children, and to be self-controlled. Now, these are for you. Self-controlled. Be busy at home. Be kind. And be subject to your husbands. I know sometimes I'm grinded on that one, even as a young mom. We aren't always subject to him. Okay, that doesn't sound so sweet. But that no one will malign the word of God. So I just came today. I wanted to share. I have a little something you can take home, too. It's about what does the Bible say about Christian mothers. We'll just pass that one out maybe a little bit. But ask lots of questions. Maybe I can teach and train by the questions you have for me, or to help you with, what did this kid say, or do you want me to read these first? Okay. I'll try and brief. I'll have to brief some of them. I remembered, this is Elena. Okay, Sarah's the youngest. And I'll go with the oldest, and then I'll go down to the youngest. Angie's the oldest. She's 28 now. She's the one that's engaged. I totally forgot, you should have reminded me. She said, I have wedding on the brain. I want to tell a quick story about how Mom taught us to love our brothers and sisters. Growing up, the oldest child of five, I had my work cut out for me. I remember telling my mom that if they stopped having children after me, their lives would be so much easier. I do remember that day. She was 14. She said, you didn't have to have five. I would have been plenty. And she says, yes, I admit I can be a brat at times, and as most siblings do, I would fight with my brothers and sisters at times like cats and dogs, and several times I wished I was the only child. My mom did the best she could to have us get along, but the statement I remember the most was the one Mom always said, friends will come and go, but family will last forever. I would often wish I could live with my friends and not be part of such a large family. In fact, she would come to me and she'd say, they put the food I want on their grocery list. You don't even put the food I want on your grocery list. I said, fine, go live with your friends. She was a tough cookie, but now that I'm older, looking back on friends that come and go and people you trusted 100% disappointing you. I have a feeling she's talking about her father on that one. I realized my mom was right. Today I'm happy to say the reason I am alive and well and happy is because of my best friend, which are my brothers and sisters. My mom taught us to love one another like Jesus loved, and I'm so thankful for her and for my family. And then Elaine is the second oldest girl. She's the one that graduated as a nurse. I remember as a kid, I must have been fighting with one of my siblings or doing something wrong. And my mom said to me, come here. I thought I was in deep trouble. I thought I was getting a spanking. I don't even remember this one. So you guys, there's some things that are going to slip by. I quickly ran to my room and put on a second pair of pants to somehow lessen the pain of spanking. Then I went to my mom's room, almost in tears. I saw her reaching high on a shelf to grab something. She pulled down a paper doll set and, here, you can play with this. And she even showed me how it worked. At that moment, I wanted to cry even more because my mom was being so kind to me when I guess I didn't deserve a spanking after all. My mom did not act this way to threaten me. I just assumed I was getting in trouble for my actions. I know I learned a big lesson that day, and I can't remember exactly, but I sure played kindly with my siblings for that whole month. Even though I didn't know what mercy meant as a kid, I definitely experienced it on that day, and I honestly don't remember the incident. So, and did I raise my voice with my children? Yes. You know better. Whenever I was afraid or my siblings were afraid, my mom would say to us, when I am afraid, I put my trust in thee and God whose word I praise. The funny thing is, I still say that today when I am afraid and able to overcome my fears with God's help. I learned that there is nothing to worry about because of our trust and hope in him. And I do remember that. You know why I prayed that prayer with them? Because I was so tired at night, I had no prayers left in me. There's another one coming up on that. But sometimes it was just, let's say this first. Are you afraid right now? Let's just say this first. I didn't know how it would affect them later. The things we can't see. We would, here's another one. We'd love it right before bed when, this is the part, when my mom would say, Mama loves you, Daddy loves you, and Jesus loves you most of all. That was my quick prayer. When they'd say, pray with us, and I don't have a prayer left in me. So that's what I pray. Mama loves you, Daddy loves you, and Jesus loves you most of all. Honest, that was it. That was all I had left. Okay, so, today we still say it in a little kind voice, and Jesus, a little kind voice, and laugh about it, except it's a little modified you. Mama loves you, and Jesus loves you most of all. They do it to me on the phone when they say goodbye now, Mom. Jesus loves you most of all. I remember going to bed so happy knowing that I was so loved, and that most of all, Jesus loved me the most. It was awesome to learn that as a child, mainly because I knew how much my mom and dad loved me, which was a lot, but it was almost unreal to know there was someone who could love me more than my parents did. if you can get that across to your children, no matter what happens to you in their lives, that Jesus loves them more than their mom or dad. I said that in class once, and it was your son who said, I can't believe there's someone who loves me more than my mom or dad. I mean, it was so good to hear that, because then that gives us something to say, no, let me tell you why or how. The folding laundry part, I'll briefly tell you this one. Whenever they fought, I folded, I always had a lot of laundry, I'm sure you all do. And so I always had a basket waiting. And I love to let my children play. Play all you want. Go outside. Go in, down the hall. Whatever. And when they fought, I said, fine, you two, you're going to fight. Come here. And I'd sit a basket of laundry by the couch, and they'd have to fold it. And if they started bickering again, I said, fine, here's another basket. And if you can't settle it by the time you get done with that basket, you'll be cleaning the floor. And I probably said it with that voice. I don't know if it was very pleasant, but I meant it. It's firm kindness and kind firmness. It works both ways, but by the first basket, they might be bickering, but at the end, they stopped. And finally, when their two oldest, Angie and Jesse, were starting to go at it, and I heard Angie say, no, don't fight. Mom will make us fold laundry. So they cured their own ailments with what they did. Elena writes, as I write this, I finally figured out my mom hates folding laundry to this day, so maybe that's why that was our punishment. Funny thing is, now I love to fold laundry. this is a funny one, and I'll briefly tell you that one too. She reminded me of a time when I was talking to the neighbor. The neighbor gal would come over, and she was older, and she'd talk for a long time, and I didn't mind it. I like talking. And Elena was trying to get my attention, and I said, just a minute, honey. Well, she had to be 3 or 4, because she wasn't in kindergarten yet. Unbeknownst to me, she went in my bedroom, folded back my covers, and cut up my brand new sheets. A king-size bed, and took a scissors, and took this big honking hunk out of the front corner. I didn't know at the time. And so, after the lady left, and for some odd reason, you know, later, whenever, I went into the bedroom, saw that, I go, and I mean, this is Elena. If you knew her, she's sweet as sugar. She's like absolutely a dolly. I did. Why did you do that? Because you were talking to the lady, and you didn't pay any attention to me. And I go, oh. I didn't punish her on that one. I thought, well, she's probably right. And does the lady talk too much? Did I talk too much? Yes. So our children come back to remember those things. And I had to sew the sheets up. And then Sarah's. Is this taking too long? No. Okay. Before anything, I would like to say that you didn't set me up to any, wait a minute, before anything, I would just like to say that you didn't set me up to anything, asking me to write something. I'd been planning on sending you a note, and believe me, this was no task. I must have been the perfect daughter, because it's hard remembering a time I got in a lot of trouble. Ha ha ha. However, one of the more painful memories from my childhood is when I didn't finish my dinner, which was often. You made me eat it for breakfast the next morning. At that time, I happened to live for a bowl of cereal, and the thought of eating cooked broccoli after I woke up was enough to make me behave for weeks. I know on a few occasions I came to tears begging you to let me have a taste of Honey Cheerios. The worst is when I would slip away from the table hoping you wouldn't notice, but sure enough, when I came skipping into the kitchen the next morning, you'd have my dinner, leftover dinner, waiting for me. No mercy. Ha ha ha, she says. Looking back now, I am eternally grateful you never let me get away with anything. It really was impactful in high school for her. It was really tough in high school because her dad had gone. You never let me get away with anything. In more essential circumstances, it's where I learned the greatest lesson of life, and this is where depth of character comes from. Stepping aside from the past, as I sit and write this, I've become overwhelmed with the amount of self you have set aside for care for us kids. I hate to admit this, but I didn't really see you as a real person growing up, but just as my mom. You were a mom who supplied endless amounts of love, attention, and prayer for us. I can't comprehend it, and I probably won't be able to till I have children of my own. You're my staple to life, someone I counted on. Thinking back now, it was your love that made me come back to Jesus. I lost him for a while when Dad left, and if it wasn't for the foundations you set for me when I was little, I can't imagine there would be much hope for me. The one thing you always embedded in my mind was Jesus loves you and he will never leave you. My Savior pursued me even when I didn't want it, even when I tried to escape it. I had your example to look back on. Even in your suffering, God provided you with comfort and then proceeded to give you strength. You were the example in my life that was real. When everything else seemed to fall, seemed to fail me, your love never did, and nor did God's. I could write a novel explaining the extent of my experience, but for now I would just like to say thank you, Mom, for being a God-fearing, courageous, strong, selfless, persistent, and loving me when I wasn't lovable. So, anyway, I've got these sheets too to give you, and my strongest word would be to model integrity. It's hard, especially when you want to. It's on the bottom of this list of stuff I'll give you, but if you can't. It's the probably the strongest thing they will watch and see is your integrity and your walk with the Lord in good times and bad, how he helps you. So if there's any questions, I'd rather sit down and have a chit-chat with you than stand up here and talk. Anyone? I mean anything. I'll start with a fun story. I always took the kids to the store grocery shopping, three or four, something like that. That you could almost. And I don't know if you want to call this a bad mom. I'd go to the toy department, put a toy in the basket for the two that were in the basket, go all around the store, get my shopping done, and put the toy back. Okay. Did we buy it? No, but they had fun for an hour.
And it sounded like through most of the kids' emails, which is one of my questions, so I'll ask it, is how did you instill in them the lack of sibling rivalry, like the fighting that goes on between?
Oh.
Like, how did you nip it in the bud? I mean, you had said folding laundry, which I love that idea, but, I mean, any other suggestions? I'm really trying to instill honoring our family with each other. Like, and it just, I mean, even our mm-hmm. words, I mean, how he just can be so mm-hmm. cruel and harsh with the way she talks to her sisters. And how do you nip that? How did you...
They are cruel and harsh. They do fight. It's a tough one to help. What I did, what I remember doing most often is saying, this is our home, and this is the only safe place we can be, and we're to be kind to one another here. I specifically remember the first time Angie was in kindergarten, so Jesse got in line at the water fountain. We were going to the school and this boy came up and literally shoved him out of line, and he fell on the floor, and he looked up like, why would someone do something like that? Because in the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So at home I tried to say that this is the safest place we have. This is the only place where we can be kind to one another. Quite often try and use verses that Jesus says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. And it's work to work through that. You have to nip it 100 times. Megan and I were talking, I read a book once, and I can't even remember the title. I stopped reading after I read this sign. It says, you have to tell your children something 100 times because it's the 99th time they will listen. And some days it seems like that's all you can do, was say it over and over and over again. I don't know, what else did I do to help them stop fighting? Yeah, I just didn't. It hurt my heart. It hurts your heart to see them fighting, and you do want to stop it. But
did you have specific consequences for those actions? Or?
Oh, they got spanked. I did use spanking. Some of you might use timeouts, whatever your choice of punishment is. I had also a spanking spoon that was up on top of the fridge, and when they got old enough, the two oldest actually hit it on me once, and I thought it was so funny. I didn't spank them because I thought they were so clever. I said, but here, it's back now. Just remember for next time. So have, I'll get back to that, but also have laughter. Times that you look at, put yourself in their shoes and look at it from their angle. You have to put yourself in their shoes. You've got to go, I'm three. How am I thinking as a three-year-old? Oh, they don't get it. There's so much they don't get. And they need to learn it from you. Repeat it over and over about the kindness. Oh, what else would I do? There's an age when they know better. I think that's when they got their spankings the most. You know better. And you can use those words. When you feel they're at an age that you've taught them 100 times, you know they finally listened. It's a disobedience, a direct disobedience they would get a spanking for. And then sometimes they solve some of those things by themselves. Angie would pound on Jessie. She's the oldest girl, Jessie's second oldest boy. And literally, she was towered over him. He's a smaller guy. And when he got to high school and got old enough and big enough, there was one day he literally picked her up over his shoulders and spun her around in a circle. And we're going, go, Jessie, go, go. It was his rites of passage, and we let it happen because he had had enough, and she was screaming and kicking, put me down. And he's like, no, I've had enough. All your children will be different. Some will listen better than others. Jessie was the peacemaker. Angie was the fighter. I don't know if that helped any or anything like that.
Going through a stage where, you know, probably all your kids fight over just little things like, I gotta get out of the car first, or I gotta enter the house first, or I'm just like, you know, when I go through the, there are children in the world that are starving, and here we're fighting over these teeny little things, and I've talked about putting others first. Katie gets it, she's 9. But she's like the other day, Mom, I'm so tired of always putting Emily first and her never doing anything. You know, like, Emily's just still so self-centered, and, you know, and it's like, when can I go first every once in a while? And,
oh.
I mean, what, do you have any advice as to, like, how to make Emily see that putting others first is good? I mean, I have, Katie's getting it. She's also getting frustrated because it's hard to put other people first for years. Kind of like what we do as moms for 20 years. We don't see.
We sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want Katie to lose that, you know, I mean, she'll even like kind of look at me like, I guess I'll put her first, but I don't want to type thing, you know, but I just don't want her to lose that putting others first because her sister.
It means you've done well.
Yeah.
Because the first one got it.
Yeah. And maybe it's an age thing. I mean, only 6. But, you know.
The others,
yeah.
I would say keep doing it, but also stop. At some point, stop the two when you see a clear example and show the littlest ones. Now, sister has done this many, many times. It's your turn.
And I did start doing that a couple times.
And you stick know, with it.
Emily.
Yeah.
Katie gets to go first this time.
Yeah, and then tell the littlest one, you need to learn this kindness.
Yeah.
You need to learn this kindness. And again, it's 100 times. You know?
She's also my friend who I will say, the very first time she responded to me, it was back when she was 5'3". I said, honey, what would Jesus do? She goes, I know what would Jesus do, and I don't want to do it.
Oh, that's a good spirit. I love children who have a spirit like that. She knows.
She knows what mom, she knows what to do. She doesn't want to do it.
That's determination, isn't it? Always ask God for wisdom, how to discipline them. I did it many, many times. Say, Lord, I need your, because he's got the instruction book and he's got the wiring for that child. And at the moment it happens, ask for wisdom.
Yeah.
The moment it happens, Lord, I need your wisdom right now, because how do I discipline with this situation? And I did that so many times. You guys, he will answer. He will give you a thought that comes into your mind you couldn't have thought yourself. And this was one in particular. regular, the only one I can remember, but I did it almost daily or 5 times or 10 times a day. Because some of the disciplines, you want them to get it so bad, but God can help you. Jesse had come up, I had a table full of little seedlings. I used to, in Michigan, I lived in Michigan, and then I moved here about 16 years ago. I would start all my seedlings in March or February, and I'd have them all growing, ready to put in the garden, a huge 2 tables like that put together, full of seedlings. And he came up, and he was small enough just to be under the, probably your guy's size, and he literally just pulled all the ones on the edge of the table off and down, because he was wanting to see what was in them. And I came down, and I go, oh, and I sat down and started crying. He goes, Mommy, why are you crying? I said, because those plants I was trying to grow to put in the garden, son. So they don't know. Some of the things they do, because they put yourself again in her 6-year-old shoes or 5-year-old shoes, however they are, and look from their mindset. They don't think like us adults. They don't get it.
I heard of some families with maybe they have less children, but they give each child an odd day. It's an odd day or even day.
And I think that's sad.
You know, if it's even, so-and-so goes first.
Oh!
It's always, you know, you just know that's the day that you're going to forget a person before you. But
yeah. I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember those situations.
I'm doing things like that where, okay, well, this day you get a sit in this seat and the next day, but it's hard to keep track.
You can't keep, it's like who gets the trick? Who gets the treat?
First day and
yeah.
Monday, you know.
Who gets the treat out of the cereal box? That was one where I said, you guys have to remember you have to take a turn. And even at my house, it was who gets a turn to have a new pair of shoes? Whose turn is it? Not I want new shoes. Whose turn is it? And they put them in charge of that, not you.
They remember better than I do.
Yeah, they do.
They do. They have told me, well, Mom, it's Tuesday, that's Emily. And I'm like, okay. So
then if they know. And then...
So like all of Monday, Emily goes first, and all of Tuesday, we put Katie. I like that. Versus
that might work.
Is specific. Okay, you get to get out of the car first.
Yeah.
The whole day with everything.
Don't you wish they would just get in the car and never even argue? You know what? Say to them. I might have said it this way. Can you two just get in the car for once and never complain on who goes first? So it makes a response. It doesn't affect. But keep doing it. Don't stop. Whatever you do and however you discipline, because my way isn't just the right way. I really wish you had 3 other moms here so you could pick all our brains at the same time. Then you could have older moms or younger moms. Whatever it is you do, keep doing it and don't quit. I tell you, I wanted to quit, especially when I became a single mom. Oh, that was so hard. I thought it was hard to be a mom until I became a single mom. That was really, really tough. So the other part I would say is to enjoy your husbands. I know it sounds weird to come from someone whose husband left, but really do honor them and esteem them for the work they do. The Lord taught me something when Mark left and I resigned, and Mike McReynolds from church here hired me to sell valves. Okay, that's what I wanted to do when I grew up. I was going to sell valves, those things that water goes through in and out and it opens and shuts. And I was there in that place, and he put me with 12 men, and I said, Lord, you are just showing off. I said, this guy left me, and you just put me in a place with 12 men. I thought, okay, I'm supposed to learn something, another wilderness journey. And as I watched those men come to work and work so hard, and $100,000 jobs or $200,000 or $1 million jobs, that they would sit and quote and price out and do the blueprints and all that good stuff. And I'm like, wow, when they're here, they're really here. They're really focused on their work. work. They're trying to earn their money and their keep. And you should see the minute they're ready to be done and go out the door. They're ready to go home. They want to come see you. They want you to be there for them. And I know after nursing a baby all day and he comes in with that look on his face like, oh, baby, I want you tonight. I'm like, oh, God. We have to sometimes say, Lord, help me through this. Lord, you're going to have to strengthen my spirit to enjoy this man. He says to this day, he didn't leave me because of sex. So I thought, well, then why? I will never understand that part of it, because we did have a good relationship. We did love each other for many years. But I think in the end, I can see a 4-year slide where his dad died. He got laid off the very next year. My mom died. So things happened and changed in our lives. Always watch for changes. Changes came in our lives that probably maybe we weren't watching out for each other and things like that. But and who knows, depression, midlife crisis, whatever you want to call it, Satan's working at the wrong time, at the wrong place, and knowing where to be and how to trip someone up, because he was never a man that I would have expected to do that, honestly. That's why I fought so hard to get him back. I thought, I don't think a 20-year-old can win in this situation. It was my passion for him because I loved him. So these men work hard for you. The Lord taught me that they're sinful. If you love your husband, your children will thrive. I believe ours did thrive. The counselor said to me, these children didn't survive this by mistake. Because we did lay a solid foundation. We did have the godly basis we could in our home to do that. So I can encourage you in any way. I'm sure some of you read that book. You guys did it in a small group. Harvey Willard's
His Needs, Her Needs.
His Needs, Her Needs.
Oh, gosh.
I know. You guys, wonderful book to encourage you. The best thing you can do for your children is love your husband. It's amazing that God made it that way, didn't he? Any other thoughts? You can even ask me questions about what happened. I don't care.
I'm a single mom.
Oh.
I have got a very strong-willed child, 20 months old. And we've just been having a lot of bad baby days.
What's that?
Bad baby days. A lot of, he slams the door in my face. It's like he doesn't even want to see me. He wants to hang out in his room. And when I come to say hi to him, he slams the door. No. Shuts the door.
I'm
just at a loss of what to do. I feel like my child doesn't love me.
Oh, no, he does. He's trying to get you to come down to his level. I didn't allow them to say no to their mom when I asked them to do something. No, I'll count to three, and I asked you to do that. You're supposed to do that. At 20 months, that's pretty young. That's like defiance. That's a tough one. No, the door stays open. I'll put in the stop.
Right.
You have to be stronger every time. And maybe he's a strong-willed child. There's even good books for that. Dr. Dobson's Raising a Strong-Willed Child. And the other one is Parenting Isn't for Cowards. You have to always remain the adult.
It starts in the morning. I get his breakfast thrown at me. I get hit. I get my hair pulled. I get bit. I'm getting child. I'm getting adult abuse. And I just don't know what do I do? Do I spank him? Do I? He's 20 months old, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's just I'm at the point where I'm very frustrated. You know, I have I'm all by myself.
That's
God. And
that's the hardest.
You know, and I keep God, why? But you know, and this is my biggest question. Is why are you so bad? Why do you do this?
Oh,
and he just really is.
How do you discipline? Do you do timeouts or spankings? Either ones.
I'm afraid to spank him. I'm afraid I go off.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm just at the point where it's spanking. It's. I'm a big girl, and I don't want to hurt him.
Uh-huh.
You know.
It would be a discipline. He's fronting you.
Yeah.
And you're not. As a single mom, I commend you because you have to do it with such young children. I actually feel so fortunate that it didn't happen until mine were a little older. But let me talk to you afterwards about that. But that's a tough issue when they run you, and you will wear out all the more quickly, and then your time clock goes off. When you say, here, at 8 o'clock, go to bed, and running all over, and no, 8:05, or 8:10, 8:15, they're still coming back for something and something. And then by 9 o'clock, you're about worn out, they didn't do what you said, and that's when I would lose control or go off, I'd say, uncork would be the word. So I've learned that you stop it at 8:05. And don't put up with it. And I don't know what the discipline will take for him to listen. You're going to find something. Ask the Lord to give you something that absolutely, but you got to stick to it. And the harder part is you don't have someone to back you up. That is really hard. And it's even harder when they're teenagers. So if you can, let me give you some. I don't have that one, but maybe we can get you a book on that. But and know that God is our Father in heaven. I don't know if this, I know many of you here probably have already accepted Jesus as your Savior and found Him to be the one to give you that comfort that you need each day. And if you haven't done that, I did it at 22. Angie was a little baby running around, and I was pregnant with Jesse. And I didn't know my Savior. I didn't know the love He had for me and the forgiveness that He had for my life. I had done things that I was so ashamed of. In fact, for years, looked for forgiveness, prayed every night for forgiveness. Would you forgive me of my sin? I'm so sorry. I had had an abortion as a young gal, and I couldn't find the forgiveness that I needed from God. And I went to the priest face to face. I was born and raised Catholic, and I came out, and he said to, you know, say the act of contrition, say the prayer on this penance and this penance. And I still hadn't found my Savior. Went home that night looking and praying, Lord, would you forgive me? I just felt a guilt that was here. I had one child. I was pregnant with a lover. Who is this God that would give me more children when I had taken one away from Him and just threw it out the door? And so I still searched for that God. I took my stroller back to the store that was given to me. It was a single one-pusher stroller. And I returned it and took the money to buy a Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. I bought the Bible. I started reading in the Old Testament. I was lost somewhere in Leviticus. And long story short, I ended up at a friend's house with Mark at the time. And she said, well, Jesus loves you, and Jesus is your Savior, and Jesus will help you through this. When I met Jesus as my Savior, I've known Jesus my whole life. What do you mean asking Him into your heart to be your Savior? It's like, she goes, it's that simple. I said, I've been praying and asking for forgiveness for years and haven't found it. She goes, then when you pray tonight, ask the Lord Jesus for that forgiveness. Ask Him into your heart to be your Savior and to come into your life. And so I did that. I thought, if there's just something for this answer. I prayed that night. I hopped in bed. Nothing happened. The bells didn't go off. The whistle didn't go off. I thought, okay, well, we'll see. The next morning, and she told me also, read in Matthew. Don't read in the Old Testament. Don't get stuck in Leviticus, Numbers, whatever. And so I started reading in Matthew. By the time I got to the fifth chapter, it was that would be about the Beatitudes. He opened my eyes, and I go, oh my gosh, He's alive. He is alive. He really is. He can be your Savior. He can forgive your sins. And I had my sins just thrown off my shoulders that day. I hit the roof. My smile hit my face. I couldn't wait to tell the world. If I saw you, I would just cut your heart open. We got to put Jesus in there, because he, and so I talked to many adults and found out they're like, whoa, back, honey, you're going to, so children, they like to listen. I thought, I'll tell children because they'll know. And so that's where the Lord had launched me at, somehow to love and have a passion to reach, because they're sponges, Mom. They're so sponges. They're so watching you. They watch your love for Jesus. They know those things, and they absorb every bit of it. Anything else? kind of think.
Do you want to tell us about the resources?
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. And here, I'll give you, pass these around. This is it's a website I just found, but some wonderful ideas about a Christian mother. These, I wanted to give you all one of these, but I realize they don't have enough. But those of you who would like to take one today who don't come to this church, and then the gals that do go here, I'll try and get more. This is about intimacy with the Almighty. I'll give you this one for free. This is about you developing your love and your relationship with Jesus. Don't read this fast. Read this slow. And if you can, read it with your husband. That would be one other thing I wish we would have done more when that Mark and I would grow together in the Lord. We were growing. I was growing. He was growing. And then once the difficult four-year slide hit, he had stopped teaching and stopped reading and things. So always try to grab books. Read them with your husband. If he won't, Mom, don't ever forget this. Don't expect your husband to be the spiritual leader of your home. Guess who's with the children most of the time? Not that it's not, I don't think it's biblical. It says the husband is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. Who's with the children? And I always was told that as a young mom, oh, the husband's supposed to be the spiritual leader. And I thought, he's so busy. He doesn't have the time. He's tired when he comes home from work. So that's why I did those Bible clubs. I was my child's teacher. So it doesn't hurt to, children's ministry hat, be their teacher or know what their teacher taught them this week and reinforce it. Very wonderful. But this one is for your walk with God. So those of you who want to take one of these, should I just give them to folks that don't go to our church? Do you? You don't. You want one?
Sure.
And you guys can get it from me later. There we go. And you can get it from me later. I'm running out here. Or I'll give them for next week. Oh, here, sorry. No. I have two more. Here you go. Take that and read it slowly and read it in time. If your husband won't read it with you, read it. And really draw on him. My husband said one thing that was very disappointing. I'm tired of living with St. Mary. That's why he left. And at that moment, I said, you think I loved God before? Do you want to know how much more I love him now? Because I didn't have him. It was a fighting moment. But be the godly woman God wants you to be. Is it hard? Yeah, it's really hard. This is Faith Begins at Home. This one, I hate to say, I have to sell it for $10. But that is where faith begins. And some of the things I shared. And there's wonderful practical ways to apply that faith to your kids. And that's a real good one. And I wish, so that one would be $10 if you want to get one of those. This one will have more maybe by next time. Losing Control and Liking It. This is have you read it? It's a wonderful title. This would be Setting the Alarm Clock. And I had way too many to be waking them up. I know it's a great mommy time. I didn't have it. they got alarm clocks as soon as they needed them. Yours might all be younger for this point, but you'll find other ways to lose control. If they do something they're not supposed to, then you let the consequences fall. It's Dobson would say, pull the rug out from under the little buzzard and let them tumble. It's a simple way to do it. Here's one example in my life, Jesse. We'll get more. I thought Aaron had a whole box, but he's getting a root canal today, so. Yeah, really, really good book. It's called, in the back it says, Cage-Free Parenting. This would be one example maybe where Jesse would always get in the car and take off his boots. Again, this would be a three-year-old. Get in the car, he lived in Michigan, take off the boots. Okay, just kick him off, because he's in the car seat, and kick him off every time. And it's like, well, I got five kids to get in and out of the car, three in car seats. I don't have time for you to take off your boots every time. So I made him walk from the car to the house in the snow, in socks. I thought it was bare feet, maybe even. You know what? I knew his feet weren't going to fall off. Guess what? He never took off his boots in the car again. This one, Jesus Calling, a great devotional for you, Mom. It's short and sweet. This is one of the sweetest devotionals. It reminds us to draw on Jesus daily. Sue McReynolds gave this to me a year ago, and I found it very, very helpful. You don't have much time. Look how short these are. Also, when my children took naps, I read Proverbs. If you can read one proverb every day, it will give you the wisdom you need to raise those children. Since there's 30 Proverbs, or 31, and there's 30 days in a month, I say it's the 19th, just open the 19th. If it's the 8th, open the 8th. If you miss 5, 6, 7, and it's the 9th, go ahead to the 9th. Don't feel like you have to, because as moms, I always wanted to read through the Bible in a year. It didn't happen, so don't set it as a rule of thumb, but find that as a great tool. And then these are other ones. I would loan this out to someone. I didn't get to read this one, but Have a New Kid by Friday, Dr. Kevin Lehman. He's one that wouldn't let you pull any punches. It doesn't let the kid rule you. This might be the book that would be helpful for you today. I'll just let you borrow it. I didn't get to read this. Lou read this one. It's Training Mama.
Yeah, Training Mama.
The library has it.
It does? Okay. And if you've ever heard Dr. Lehman, I love hearing him on the radio. He doesn't mess around, does he? No. He's really good. And then this one I was just given, Crazy Love. Have you guys ever heard Francis Chan?
It is fantastic. A fantastic read. In fact, there's like 25 holds on it in the library system, so I
want to read it. It is fabulous, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And again, drawing your love for this almighty God.
Chan?
Yeah, Francis Chan. Crazy Love. Yeah. And it's overwhelming. Or it's just, he's everywhere. He's in our presence. And this is Parenting the Heart of Your Child. Again, I didn't read that one, but if you want to borrow that one, I just, this one is Diane Moore, Teaching Your Kids to Make Good Decisions.
She's a local author. She's in Vancouver. She speaks often in the Portland metro area.
Oh, does she?
She is, it's about the moral development of your child and moving them from one phase to another, and it's an interesting read on how they move and why they move and what those development pieces of their life look like. And essentially it's saying, with your child, make the right decision if no one was watching and no one would know. So how do you move your child to that point in their life when right now they do it because it hurts? Or
mom's going to
mom, yeah, or whatever. So it's that sort of a movement.
Uh-huh.
And there has to be an experience for them to move from phase to phase. So it's just one of those, it's kind of global look at the character.
I can let someone borrow that too. It's no sense sitting on my shelf. Maybe I'll just throw my name and number in it or something. And you guys could call. I'm not the expert. Like I said, I wish we had five other moms here. I really do. That would have been fun because you'd get five different perspectives. Yeah, just like in this room, we have 20 different perspectives and 20 different ways you raise your children, but we have one God that will direct all of us and give us the instructions we need. So with that said, maybe I should pray, or is there any more questions?
I have some more. Any other questions, or did you have any picky eaters?
Oh, golly, you guys might not like me on this one. I was militant. If they said yup, they got double. Okay, so I served you all some broccoli. And Angie, being the oldest, would say yuck. And then she'd say yuck, 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 yuck. And I'd have five yucks. So mine were multiplied by disasters. And so one time, just to be funny, their dad said yuck. And they couldn't wait. And I took the ladle and scooped them on their plate just to make it funny. But that yuck doesn't work in our house. It was militant. What age? Oh, all ages, because the oldest would set it off and the youngest would say yuck just because the oldest did.
Even
yeah.
One, two.
Yeah. One, I give them, here's the grace on it. If you try it and you don't like it, you can say no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That is totally acceptable. Try it, you don't like it, say no thank you. And then I won't give you doubles, so it just sits on their plate. How picky?
Well, it's just that, you know, she only likes certain, you know, food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, breakfast and lunch aren't such a big deal. Culture dinner is such a struggle. You know, like normal chicken instead of, you know, Dino Buddies.
Right. Oh.
Anything like that, you know.
How old is she?
7.
Oh, out for breakfast. Mm-hmm. It works. I'm serious. If you, I could only cook one meal.
Well, she does, I mean, she eats vegetables,
yeah.
Fruit, you know.
But she will only eat Dino Buddies and not chicken that has a little salt and simple seasoning on it. I hate to say it, Mom. There's a thing about being the mean mother. Vicki Knez and I used to joke about she was the president and I was the vice president. Oh, you are. And don't, and what Sarah said, Mom, I thank you for making me, I don't know how she said it.
Don't let me get away with anything.
Don't let me get away with anything. Thank you for that. You are the mean, you're not their friend. And still, and even after Mark left, I stopped being the mean mother. I literally caved into everything. Okay, you can have this. You can eat cereal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, and then about a year and a half or 2 years later, I was starting to get some strength back. I said, wait, I've joined the Mean Mothers Club again. Stop that. And they go, no, Mom, your license has been revoked. So they knew I had caved when I caved. And they, in their own time and in their own way, oh, I should tell you about the healing that took place, and it took 5 years in each of their lives is different. Maybe that's for another day. I don't know what your time is to go, but any more questions about little people? Because mine are not so big.
Just about the food real quick.
Yeah.
So at night when they try one bite and say no thank you, do they have to eat it the next day?
No.
Breakfast?
No, it's when they
Or if it was more of when they left everything on their plate, that's more of what it was.
They left everything.
Left one little bit.
Yeah, it was when they refused to eat what I cooked. If he throws it back at you, fine. You get nothing. I would put that plate away. And although at 20 months,
I know.
Can I say that's yeah?
Yeah, sure. You know, just to get it.
Because he knows he's going to get one.
No.
It's just so for your sanity to make sure he gets a little something.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Expensive. I mean.
At 20 months, that's a lot harder. There's some discipline you'll probably have to start catching up on. And I'll help you.
Like 17 months, and it's a single mom. I don't know how you do it. My husband's better at it than I am. He loves climb on our coffee table or get up onto tables that don't let our kids climb on. And my husband will pick him up, put him in the timeout corner. And my husband will walk away, and he's only 17 months, so we don't have a time limit on the timeout. He will then, Chris will just stay there for about 20 seconds. You need to stay. This is a timeout. We don't. And then he'll choose to get out, climb up again. I mean, it will take some days 15 minutes of just keep hitting him in timeout, and he'll eventually walk away. And if they're consistent, I know it's hard.
Consistency
there are days
is huge.
I'm so tired.
Yes.
And I know I'm not 100% consistent, and that's what I need to
yeah.
do.
Mm-hmm. It's just
the key. That's the key here.
Say, that's right. I'm the president. And you'll be the child, and I will be the mean mom. And if. Yeah. And ask your friends' moms.
They're all like, so funny. You just have all. They take one side of chicken or whatever, you know, you cook for the main dish. The side dishes aren't a problem. And then, so they just eat the side things and then they're done? Or you give them something else? Or you say, you can only have peanut butter and jelly if you don't like dinner? Or that's what we had to do as kids. If you don't like dinner, peanut butter and jelly is all you get.
Oh, as a supplement. How old is the child?
Seven.
Oh, seven. That's right. You said that. They know better by then. Are you tired of her eating Dinah?
I just don't want to be a short order cook.
Exactly.
I don't like fish.
I don't really know five different things for dinner.
No. No.
They want to eat later on. Like within half an hour, 45 minutes.
Oh, bring it back out then.
Because I know for Abby, like last night, she was like, I'm all done with my chili. She had one bite. So that's fine. But you'll get nothing else. If you ask me in an hour if you're hungry, your chili will be on the counter waiting for you.
Yeah, right. We tell the kids that, you know, if you're going to be excused from dinner, that's fine. But, you know.
So she's
with... else to eat after dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's fine if they eat all their dinner and they want a snack later.
Sure.
Right. You want that protein in her.
Right. You give her something else if she says, I had a bite, I tried it, no thank you. And then, you know, how many times do you go back? Like,
and give them something else because
it's again. You know,
I know you don't like it if you try it out now.
Ketchup?
Yeah.
Sauce? Brand, something. Yeah. This is what we're having for dinner.
Right.
Don't short order cook them any longer. You've got to nip it when you can, and you have to be the mean mom. I don't know how else to...
My daughter had a teacher, and their suggestion was, however old you are, that's how many bites you have to take.
Right.
Oh.
And that makes it, especially when you're eating at someone else's house.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing right. when your child learns a fit in someone else's house. And so Maddie will look at me and say, you know, mommy, I'm like, how old are you?
That's a good one. This is great. Where moms help moms.
Yeah. We didn't care. We're not going to be rude.
No.
It's embarrassing for her one. And now she's starting to eat at friend's house a little often. So.
We had a little girl come over, and her mom was there. Sometimes your kids are naughtier when you're there.
Yeah.
And my kids were all watching, and she got served and at my house, and she shoved the plate across the table and says, I'm not eating it, not one bite. And my kids all looked at me like, what's mom going to do to her? And I just took the plate away, and we all ate. Didn't give her something else. It's a mean mother thing that this is...
If your own child does that, I know Kevin Lehman says in one of his books, you literally pick the plate up, don't say anything, walk to the trash, dump the plate up, come back to the table and continue eating.
Yeah.
Your dinner is over. You didn't have to say anything.
Yeah.
Your dinner is officially over. That's just you're not going to die.
No. No.
Next meal. So you're
yeah.
And just, you don't even have to verbalize what's going on. It's mm-hmm. just a little baby.
And the furthest time I had to take it the furthest was Angie, and she was in school, so it was elementary years. I put out, there's this beef stew that sometimes she just put her nose to the wall on it, wouldn't eat it. I mean, wouldn't touch it. That's fine. I'll put it in the fridge, brought it out for breakfast the next morning. She sat there, and she's the stubborn one, mad her in a pistol, didn't touch it. I did send her with her lunch to school, and brother told me that day on the way home she ate her lunch on the way to school. Okay, so I knew I didn't say, here, have something else. It was the mean mother thing, and you hate to do it with their coat. They forget their coat, they forget this, they forget that. But it will come back to bless you. Can I tell you? This comes back to bless you.
Tracy, yeah. I didn't want to say it because I thought I sounded really mean, but about your kids saying me, like it's my turn, I go first. The way I got rid of that was if one of them said, it's my turn, I'm first. I'm like, oh, you're last.
Oh, I like that.
Nobody says, it's my turn, I'm first anymore. Because we have four kids.
Perfect.
You're last. I'm in front of you.
Everything was a race. And then they gloat about it. I won, you know, everything is a race. And I'm like,
we kind of missed that one in the
back. If anything's a race, you pay me. You're getting paid from your savings. You know, like, they don't get an allowance, but they get money, you know, birthdays or whatever. And so, if something's a race, so mommy gets a quarter.
And I've forgotten so much. It's so wonderful you can share with each other. I've really forgotten a lot. I'm trying to wonder how I did it and what they tell me. I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? So.
What do you do with little boys and table manners? What do you do with little girls and table
manners? Yeah. The spilling or just
put over them or anything?
They don't behave at the table and they play with their food or they throw their. Not that.
It's just like willy-nilly, like turning around in the chair, leaning over, falling out of the chair.
They know they're supposed to stay.
Using their, you know, weapon.
Yeah. Like, but they do. Do you know mine would bite the peanut butter and jelly sandwich to look like a gun. And
yeah, absolutely.
They'd hold it and they'd squeeze the handle.
Squeeze my.
Boys are, I love boys. I teach, when I teach my children, I teach towards boys. Boys are delightful. Again, they're simple. He's right there. He's just having lunch, and he's having fun with his lunch. I didn't realize how simple boys were until the Lord had taught me those 12 men. I was like, oh my gosh, they're all boys. They're just bigger. When he's there at the table eating food, it's they play a lot. This one incident, it just was a, I'm going to lose my mind, because they were all five doing that. Absolutely inconsiderate, thoughtless of eating and yelling and not behaving and just sitting quiet and eating your food. Please, can we do this? And they weren't listening, and I was saying, come on, let's quiet down, let's eat our food. Okay. All five of them, once one sets them off, stop the first one, by the way. Stop the lead. I had to be, and those of you who don't spank, just ignore what I say. I had to spank the first two more than I spanked the last three completely. The first two got more than the last three put together. So if you can nip the first two in the bud, work on those two. The others will follow suit. On that incident, though, I was in the kitchen. They wouldn't behave, and I was about to uncork. I have yelled at my children. PMS is given to you once a month, so you'll get your children back in line. Because do you uncork even worse at that time? And I thought, Lord, why did you give me this? Oh, then they behave for three more weeks. I was in the kitchen. They wouldn't behave. I was about to lose it. I took the whole silverware drawer. We had a big one because we had two trays of silverware in that big drawer because we had so many. And I pulled it out and I let the whole thing slam on the floor. And they're sitting. Get down from the table, pick up every one of these pieces of silverware and put it back in that drawer. And I left. I walked out the door. I had no choice. I didn't want to hurt them, but I was like, oh. So is that an answer to your no? Ask God again, wisdom. But boys will be boys. They are delightful. Not that the girls are bad, but they were persnickety from birth. Yeah. Compared to those, how many of you would, does any of you agree with that or can see that? And when the boys are playing Legos, guess what? They're playing Legos. And the girls want someone else's Lego, and I want to change my clothes five times. No change artists in this house. You have change artists? Nip those.
I'm ready to nail the dresser drawer shut.
What, you want something? Hold on, let mommy.
I'm like ready to glue them shut.
Yeah. Duct tape.
Put everything and put them away. They seriously think it's Christmas. They go in and they're like.
It may get older. They can be their own laundry.
They're still young.
I know.
They're still young.
I don't care. Shove it in.
Yeah, change artists made me crazy. I didn't let them do it. I don't remember what I did to stop it. Oh, I'm so sorry.
You could dress the box or something.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. My niece came over one day to play, and I had so many. I had a box in the basement that said 0 to 3, 3 to 6 months, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, and so on. I had all the years, so each time I had another baby, I just grabbed the box. Well, their cousin came over and said, let's play dress up. They dressed up every one of my stuffed animals with every one of the clothes in those boxes, and I couldn't punish. It was delightful fun. Get in their shoes. Why did they do that thing that made you crazy? So some disciplines are necessary. The direct disobedience and the you know better. It's okay to use that word. You know better. By seven, you know better. And then there's a whole lot more. I did teach my children to work too. That was one I shared years ago. Did you guys ever, when you were here on that one, did that work?
Just getting there now.
Okay, so it's too young when they're little. I did teach them young to help you work. Give them the spray bottle while you're spraying or give them the rag. Have them participate at a little bitty age and it works. So.
It took us a while to warm up and I feel like we could probably go a whole other hour, but we've got to go rescue our kiddos. We need to challenge our workers.
I think it's the other way around.
That's true, it's the other way around.